was in America. I saw a bumper sticker that said, Jesus is my airbag. What a way of finding out he's not real.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
It says a lot about kind of like male ego that I was kind of delighted. But like as in, like, I just can't imagine a world in which like people going, oh, is there a girl you fancy, but you feel fucking awful for admitting it. Do you know what I mean? That's the thing. No, that would be, but that would make the press. Like if people were saying that they, so yeah, I was kind of, I was essentially the nation's pity fuck. That's kind of what I was.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is the wine house to my Lipa, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chris.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Thanks for joining us today on a TCB Infomercial Tuesday with Mr. Russell Howard, UK sensation.
He is. He's the Robbie Williams.
He's the Robbie Williams of comedy over there in the UK, and we're so excited to have him. Feeling very grateful that he's decided to stop by The Commercial Break because he's British and he doesn't know. Yeah. He doesn't know that The Commercial Break is not a place you go.
If you're trying to get the word out.
That's right, if you're trying to get the word out. But I'm honestly, we've been grateful to have so many wonderful guests as of late.
Yes.
Roy Wood Jr., Felipe Esparza, so many that we can talk about. But go check out those episodes because they are doing very well, Chrissy, on the...
On the interwebs.
On the interwebs. There you go. And who knows, maybe we'll make a little news today with our good friend Russell Howard, currently on tour. He's going to be coming to the west coast of the United States here very shortly. We'll put all the links in the show notes, as we always do. And his special is now
out. It's really funny, too.
It is really funny.
Jeff was laughing, too.
Oh, if we got Jeff laughing, then we know that we've hit on something special because Jeff doesn't laugh. He's a humorless son of a bitch.
Serious.
Jeff is a humorless son of a bitch. You hear me, Jeff? Loosen up, dude. Actually, Jeff's kind of like one of the loosest people I know. He's very loose. When he gets his bell rung, don't tighten up, Mr. Green.
No, he's
loose. Ding dong. They go in there. They ring the door. They stick their hand in and they wave. They drop a package off and then they... Amazon comes in Jeff's store. That's all I got to say. That's how loosey-goosey he is. Anyway, Russell's going to be here. And I'm very excited. Speaking of UK news, it seems that... That Meghan and Harry have done the right thing and they have postponed the much ballyhooed premiere of her, I don't know, cooking with Kate thing that's going on. Isn't that, is it?
Meghan.
I'm sorry. Cooking with Meghan. cooking with Kate.
That's the other sister.
That's the other sister.
Yeah.
Cooking with Meghan. She had asked.
Was it a cooking show or I guess like a lifestyle show?
It was a lifestyle show, but I think they supposedly.
Lifestyle.
Lifestyle. Style.
Yeah, lifestyle.
If you want to get right with your lifestyle, check out Frankie V's new video.
I wonder if she watched some of his episodes to get ready for it.
Oh, listen, I'm sure that Meghan Markle is tuned right into Frank Bernardo. Bernardo. Yeah. Even he says his name wrong. Bernardo. Bernardo. In the greater Chicagoland area. People, by the way, love Frankie B. I mean, every time we do an episode, we just get so much feedback about our Frankie B episodes. And I wish that there was more to do, but I think we've done run out.
He's got a girlfriend.
He's got a girlfriend, and she's not letting him anywhere near the YouTubes. No. But don't fear not. If you've heard any of Frankie's relationship advice, he'll soon be back to YouTube at 72 years old. We didn't find his social media, so that's good. But actually, I applaud Meghan on this one because apparently she called it a love letter to Southern California and all things wonderful. Listen, I personally, I think some of the content that they're producing for Netflix is a little tone deaf in general, but okay, whatever. I mean, there's lots of cooking shows out there and... You know, a lot of them focus on the higher end. What's that one? The Ina Garten, In the Garden, or Ina Garden?
Yeah.
There's Ina Garten. There's Martha Stewart. There's a whole channel now, a whole cooking channel.
Yes, there is.
Have you seen this?
Of course. It's been around forever.
No, not the cooking channel. There is a cooking channel. I know about the cooking channel. I'm saying a cooking channel, like a chef channel, a food-related channel that is dedicated to just like food porn. It's a lot
I've heard of that.
Have you heard of this one? Mm-hmm. I can't remember the name of it, but I saw it in a doctor's office once, and it was literally, I was waited for like a half an hour, and it was literally just shots of food with not a lot of talking in beautiful settings in France and, you know, I'm sure in the wine country and all this other stuff. So, you know, I understand that there's like a, there is a demand for that kind of content that people like to see
like
their food being cooked in beautiful settings and eaten by beautiful people and all that shit. But it's kind of a do or die for Meghan and Harry as far as that Netflix deal is concerned. So I'm super interested to see how that all plays out. Does this in fact become the hit that Meghan and Harry need? As if they need any more money. They got $150 million from Netflix. But I do think the right thing is to hold off on that, given all the circumstances that are going on out in California.
God, so sad.
It is just terrible. We've talked a lot about it on the show, and I think partly because it's hard to believe that it's happened in the in a major metropolitan city has burned like this. I think partly it's because we know people that live out there and who are our own agent. Has been, you know, him and I have been in conversations, and he lives close to one of the fires. And they have been getting all kind of notifications. You're in, you're out, you're in, you're out, you're in, you're out. That must be a terrible way to live. And then they went out with without power for 4 or 5 days, which if you've ever done is a very uncomfortable situation.
Yeah, it's incredible. I feel so bad too for just the, like the children of, you know, because I guess schools have been closed, obviously, and things. And I can't imagine being a young child and knowing that your home burned.
No.
That's so traumatic.
That is like, I mean, I have never been through a fire, but that has got to be one of the things that, no pun intended, gets seared into your psyche and that you just can't forget as a child. That's one of the basic fears of humanity, getting eaten by some wild animal, shark, or getting bitten by a snake. Those I think those things we're just born with because it's a fight or flight response. Fire is one of those things. Super helpful, but very scary, right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't, and it can go either way. It's like it can get out of control very quickly. So our hearts go out. And Russell was supposed to be with us last week talking about his new special that was that came out on the 15th, but he's here today because he was in LA and had to get out very quickly to make sure that he and his family were safe. So Russell Howard is an extraordinarily popular comic out in the UK. Some might say the most popular comic that's working from the UK right now. And he has had so many television shows on the BBC. He has had...
He's been on for like 20 years.
Yeah, right? So many different iterations of Russell Howard. Mm-hmm. He did a... I guess the best... The thing that we can liken it to the best, the thing that I think he's most known for, at least from my research, because I don't live in the UK.
You are a British expert.
I am a British expert on television, that's for sure. I love that British television. And anytime someone British from the British television comes in, I do get a little fanboy. I'm like,
I know, it's a little giddy.
Yeah, it's... I don't know why. I'm so giddy about British comedy in general. But the thing that he's probably best known for is the Russell Howard Hour, which is a television show that ran for some 200 hours over there. And it's kind of like our Daily Show. Mm-hmm. It's like satire about pop culture and news and politics, stuff like that. There is a ton of that on his YouTube channel. I will put Christina will put those links.
Thank you, Christina.
Thank you, Christina.
You're welcome.
We'll put those links in the show note. Also to his tours, to tour tickets that are mainly on the West Coast. But if you're near, you should go check him out. He's going to be doing smaller venues here than he does.
Or if you're in Helsinki.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
where he's going to be starting
or
off.
Or Budapest.
So for our...
Sorry, that was an automatic play.
Oh, okay. I see what's going on over there. She's on Russell. Even she's bored with us. She's checking out.
I pulled up the YouTube to put the link in the show notes. Sue me.
So anyway, so Russell's doing that tour here in the United States. Tickets are available. We'll put a link, and then you can go to this Drift website and get access to his brand new special. Highly suggest you do, because even Jeff's laughing.
Yep.
Even Jeff is
the Jeff
laughing.
Approval.
That's right. Okay, so let's do this. Why don't we take a short break? We'll bring Russell on through telepodcasting magic. And then when we get back, our conversation with Mr. Howard.
Did you know that we have a phone number? Well, we do. And you should call us. Nobody's going to answer, but you can leave a voicemail for us that we may or may not play on the show. And if that's not the vibe, then just send us a text, okay? Our number is 212-433-3TCB. So get texting and give us something to talk about, please. We need it. While you're doing that, you can also follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. And as always, check out our website, tcbpodcast.com, for all of our audio and video content. Speaking of video, we are also posting full video episodes at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. So go watch them, please. Anyway, now let's hear from our sponsors and get back to the good stuff.
Hey, Russell, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm worried about your sign in the background that looks precarious. It feels like it looks like it's going to fall.
Oh. We are not sure who actually put that up. So there's a running gag on this show, and it's actually not really all that funny to us here in the studio, but technically we are inept. We're 5 years into this. We're 1,000 hours worth of programming into this. You don't know how much goes wrong technically
there's
on this show.
Tape here,
wires there.
But that's the way, together. Isn't it?
Yes.
The best things in life are rickety, aren't they? Do you know what I mean? That's what gives them spirit. If you see a nice, clean suitcase at an airport, there's no mystery. Yeah. There's no excitement. You know, I want to see bumps and scrapes.
Well, next time you're in Atlanta, Georgia, you come to our house and we'll have to lift you into the studio to avoid knocking over any wires. Most importantly, since you're the only British person we're going to have on the show this week, we have to ask, who is Robbie Williams and why is he a chimpanzee and how's this playing out in the UK?
It's so interesting because Robbie Williams is a massive pop star in the UK and Europe and Australia, but never kind of made it to the United States. And I thought that as well. I was in LA last week and saw these huge 100-foot posters of Robbie as a monkey, and I thought that's an odd selling point.
It's so
because
strange.
Presumably, if America does fall in love with the simian version, they're going to be so disappointed when they actually go to see Robbie Williams and go, "Oh, it's just a man." Because it would be bewildering to see a monkey with the ability that Robbie's got.
I would pay for.
Well, this is it. But this is the problem. I think he's inadvertently stumbled into the. If the film goes massive, there's going to be lots of really giddy Americans rocking up, presumably with bananas and tires, just to fling them at him to see what tricks he can do. But the British fans, I think we find it really interesting because it's a bit like, he's huge. It's, you know, he's as big as Ed Sheeran in this country. So it would be, I guess, you know, Ed Sheeran, instead of doing like a straight documentary, is like, I'm going to be a flamingo, just want one leg. Do you know what I mean? Exactly, to kind of make it, to make it different. But I guess if people don't know who you are, it is utterly bewildering. But there's something really kind of cool about it as well.
I agree with you here, is that like as a story device, I can understand why I'm the monkey and, you know, I play like a monkey and I sing for a monkey. And, you know, I can understand like it could be a deeper meaning behind it and it could all play out well. And apparently it's been received well by critics and the Golden Globes and maybe Oscar talk. I don't know. It made about $500,000 in its opening weekend here in the United States, which is by all stretches of the imagination a hot flop, right? So I don't think we've bought into this yet, but you know, we know Robbie, we know of Robbie Williams, and when I see his face, I'm like, oh, that's a singer from the UK who has done very well for himself. But the challenge is that, you know, there's an old saying in Hollywood, never work with children or monkeys. And he went straight for monkey. And I just think maybe it was not, as a plot device, maybe not such a hot thing. But is it playing well over there? Are people going to see it and they like it?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. But because I only saw the poster of it when I was in LA, and I was like, shit, is that our Robin? And he's a monkey now? Okay. You know, and so it was, but because of the, you know, the backdrop of horror that was going on in LA, it just, I didn't sort of linger on that, but it was kind of in amongst the sort of black smoke. I saw that and I was like, fuck, that's odd. But I haven't kind of sat and thought about it, but it would be like, you know, when John Oliver got his break to do the Daily Show, if he came as an animal, you know, the thing is, if you're trying to break America, you have to then stay as the animal.
Yes,
you know? You have. But
Americans are dumb. If you start we're gonna be confused.
I don't know. I think if anyone introduced themselves as a monkey, and then went, only fucking around. I'm a singer. Yeah, I'm a singer from Manchester. Then I think the audience is allowed to go, why?
Yeah. But,
I don't know. But I was surprised how big the posters were because... Yeah,
they're huge.
But it's a bit like, you know, Seinfeld isn't particularly big in the UK. It just never quite translated, which is mind-blowing to, you know... Americans, but we that culture of kind of sitting in cafes talking about cereal that didn't exist in the 90s, you know, and obviously people, loads of people are into it, but it isn't the, it just doesn't have the same resonance, you know, in the way that something like Friends was massive, you know,
or
there was a show in the UK called Only Fools and Horses, which is without doubt the biggest British sitcom of all time.
Very funny.
And yet nobody, well, that's it, but you've got to,
you
got to know what I mean? You've got to find it. As an American, you have to find it. You have to understand what does Peckham mean? Like, how does it fit here? You know, so it's, I don't know, that it's an interesting thing for Robbie Williams. But then he does like stadiums in the UK. He's so big that he probably just was like, I'll be a bit fun. Bit of a laugh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
He explained it. Then when he was on, I think it was Graham Norton, he explained that the director came in, said, hey, I want a story device because the regular musical biography is played out, right? It's just the same. We're doing the same thing over and over again. Let's do something different. Mm. I want you to think of an animal. What do you want to be? And he said, lion. He said, well, I don't know about a single lion, right? So
a lion would be funny because the look of fear in the audience.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
3D. Yeah.
But then when the lion starts doing ballads, that must be really bewildering.
How was your experience out in LA? You know, we were scheduled to do an interview last week, and Russell was stuck in the heat of the moment, right as the fire started. It was
awful.
There a lot of panic in the air?
It's horrific. It was just, and it's still going on. So it was just this... I was only there for 2 days, but it suddenly became this, you know, it just disaster. And then I was flying from LA to New York to do the rest of the kind of PR, and you know, there was black smoke and there were people crying on the plane. It was really heavy, and awful, and it's still going on. It's just, you know, these things that happen every so often that are just unfair and cruel. And
They seem to be happening more often, or at least we get that news so quickly now that it's like, you know, cycle after cycle of kind of these things. And we have friends and family in LA, and
it's brutal, eh?
It's apocalyptic. It really is. It's weird and apocalyptic, and you know, that's just not something that's on your bingo card, right? Earthquakes happen all the time. Hurricanes you see coming, tornadoes you can kind of predict, something that happens here in the United States, but flash fire that takes out thousands of structures is really
awful,
terrible. Russell, I have a question for you. I want to just step back for 1 minute on something you said. When you come to America, you're going to be on tour here. It looks like you're hitting a lot of the West Coast cities out there. When you come to the United States, what are the differences in the audience taste? Do you have to tailor some of your comedy for... And I'm really interested to hear from a British comic. Do you feel like you have to tailor a little bit the jokes? Yeah. I know you might have to take out some of the slang that you typically you might use that's familiar to the audience over the pond. But tell me about that experience when you come here to the States.
It's I love it because it's kind of like the gigs aren't as big as the ones, you know, not dissimilar to Robbie. I don't put on the simian suit, but I kind of, you know, I cover my own skin, and there's a better way of putting it than that. But I kind of, I'm used to doing certain rooms in kind of, you know, in the UK and Australia and Europe, but...
Rooms. You're trying to say big. You do big rooms.
Yeah, but still, you know, it's still that thing of like doing kind of, you know, a 500 seater, a 1,000 seater is still wild and so exciting. The electricity. We did a gig in Detroit last time I was there. It was like a 400 seater.
Great city.
And oh my God! But the audience, it was so electric in a way that British audiences can be kind of quite tough. They kind of, you know, sort of fold the arms and you sort of know you've got them if they're kind of the tits hang free. Do you know what I mean? That's kind of it. And I've always had, whether because some Americans have found me out and they're excited that I'm there, but I've always noticed the audiences more than meeting me halfway. and kind of they've seen loads of my stuff on YouTube or Netflix. So I'm amazed at how much they kind of know and they kind of get me. I guess it would be a bit like, I don't know, you know, Michael Che or Michelle Wolf doing gigs in London, you know.
Sure.
If they're doing Leicester Square, the audience are going to go, are going to know Michelle Wolf, you know. They're not going to sort of stumble in.
Yeah.
So I love it. And I kind of find it, I find it so fascinating gigging around the country. Like, it's so brilliant to get that kind of street level knowledge of America.
Yeah.
And there's so many different Americas. And
it's such a big country.
But it is the country that the world looks to, and it's in such a interesting state of flux.
Yeah.
And
kind of, putting it.
Yeah. But within that is so much kind of like social commentary and sort of like interesting comedic analysis. And there's things you see, like there's things you see in America you don't see. I saw a homeless man outside a hotel for dogs. And it was this, like, so the man had no home and the dog was on holiday.
Right.
And it was this kind of amazing sort of image of decadence. This man would have a better life if he was Kim Kardashian's Labrador. And that
is true.
Sad and funny and interesting, but as an English person, I've never seen a hotel for dogs. So and that is ludicrous enough. But when you see a homeless man being moved along because that's where the dogs like to sunbathe, that struck me as funny and unfair and wild. And it's sort of a brilliant dark comedic analysis of the kind of weird disparity of wealth. Do you know what I mean? So
yes.
That's the point I make. It's kind of...
And I think if you had three words to describe the United States of America, it would be funny, unfair, and wild.
Yeah.
That's just like, that is the story of America.
Well done. Well, you're absolutely right. But it's that thing. Who wouldn't want to, you know, take part of the kind of, you know, get on the ride? So that's... Mm-hmm. And then interesting talking... Because essentially that's what stand-up is. I've got a show, but, you know, I might see things during the day and then being able to talk them out with the audience, you kind of get this, I don't know, it feels like every show is kind of unique because American cities are unique. Like Atlanta is such a different place to New York, which is a very different place to Detroit, which is a different place to Pittsburgh, you know, and you kind of, it gives you an extra layer as an English comic because you're on holiday and you feel like weirdly you're representing your country and you're analyzing theirs on top of all the kind of natural stand-up that I have anyway. So I love it.
Do you poke at the politics of the United States? Do you poke at the...
Yeah, I mean, I have to bone up on it. I have to because... And by also, I'm really interested in trying to find the middle ground because it feels like so much... You know, so much has been weaponized and people are, it's so tribal and people are pitted against each other. And fundamentally, most people, people aren't one thing or another, but they've been forced into it, whether it's politically or comedically. You've got to be this and you've got to be into that. Whereas it's a bit like a buffet. You kind of pick and choose. There's things that I am really right wing about. There's things I'm super liberal about. And that's everybody, I think. And the brilliant thing about laughter is that it's always, it's so kind of connecting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like when you're kind of lost in laughter, you realize like that for me, looking at the fact that, you know, you have homeless people and hotel for dogs, like that's interesting, irrespective of your kind of political approach.
Sure.
And also, here's the big thing. If you voted for Trump, that doesn't define all of your personality. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that's the big thing, that it's kind of, and if you vote for Biden, that doesn't define, you know what I mean? And it, I'm interested in moving those things away and trying to find the kind of meat of it, you know?
I think this is happening throughout the world, this kind of tribalism. And I only live here in the United States, but to travel a lot. And I see... You know, my father-in-law who lives in Venezuela is fond of saying it, extremes on both sides end up in the same place. Right?
Yeah.
And that's why you need that healthy push and pull. And I am very much what you just said. I am not all against everything that Trump says. I am not all for everything Biden says. I have my preferences. But at the end of the day, this tribalism makes people feel like they belong. And I think that's really where the story is. The story is there's something going on in this world. And I think it might be the disconnection and loneliness that makes us feel like if we are on a team, if we are a Packers fan, if we are a Trump supporter, if we, if we're British comedy fans, we can get on and knock the American comedy fans on Reddit, because that makes us feel like we're part of something. Where did we go wrong that this type of identification makes us feel like we're someone?
It's that's
the story to me. I think
it's because it would appear that religion has been replaced with podcasts. I think that's what's happened. I think people have put down the Bible. They've, you know, but again, it's a really good example of like
fair enough
of kind of people. I think with podcasts particularly, you have such a connection with them because people will be going to work with you guys. You're in you're in their ears, so you're part of
their, all the time.
You're totally, and it's a really tight, authentic, lovely connection. And I think, like, if you don't have, you know, if society has changed, and my God, it changed during COVID, it's kind of, it's so, these become the constants. You become the constants. You're the chat. People are kind of listening to you, and it's, I don't know.
Did you, I read this, and I looked for it, but I don't know where it is. Did you do a series during 2020 and 2021 where you were in your childhood bedroom talking to everybody on a daily basis or a weekly basis during COVID?
Yes. Yeah. So I'm basically, my wife's a doctor and she was supposed to come on tour with me, and she was having like a career break in 2020, and she was off work, and then COVID really kind of escalated, and she kind of knew she had to go back. Yeah. And two of her friends lived with elderly relatives. And this was the beginning of COVID when we didn't kind of know what it was.
It was big and scary.
Yeah. Scary masks. Didn't, you know
touch
what it was going to do.
Know anybody.
All
that. Yeah,
exactly.
That stuff.
So her two friends came to live at our house. And then I was kind of like shipped off like an evacuee to go and live with my parents for kind of 2 months, which was a real, you know, it was, so, and I got offered the chance to do my show, you know, just on a computer, on the laptop, and then kind of send it in. So we did that for 2 months, and it was great. It was like, it was great in terms that it gave me a focus, and it gave people something to kind of watch, I guess, because nothing was getting made. So it was there was a while where, yeah, we were kind of like the only kind of comedy show that was still being made. But it was, I'll tell you what it was, the green room was less cool. You know, if you do a TV show, normally you kind of, you know, you go into the bar afterwards.
Your
few
mom's
beers.
Kitchen.
It was exactly that. It was like my mom and my dad, who was really into spinning, you know, bike riding at the time. So, exactly. So I'd see my dad's sweaty man tits and my mum going, do you fancy a glass of white? So it just wasn't as rock and roll. But, you know, listen, it kind of, you know what it's like. That's what we realized.
That's when we started the show. And I swear,
well, there you go.
This may have saved our lives.
Yeah.
And we do hear from a lot of people, people who, I don't know, I wouldn't classify them as lonely. They're just human beings that are looking for connection.
Yes.
And this is part of the way that they feel that connection. Some girls in a factory doing whatever, making widgets or whatever she does. And there's 1,000 hours of the commercial break she can listen to while she's doing that. And it makes her feel better. And so I imagine, and we started this during COVID, this was more of a saving grace for us at the time because no one was listening. But but I imagine you were a saving grace for a lot of people also, because you were some kind of real connection on the TV that was actually going through it. Have you ever seen The Morning Show on Apple TV?
Have
you seen this?
No.
So Jennifer Aniston plays a morning.
Yes, seen. Yeah, I've heard of
it. So there's a whole plot line where she starts doing the show from her bedroom because she has COVID.
Right.
And when I read this about you, I was like, he's the real life morning show, Jennifer Aniston. You're the Russell Howard Hour. You're like, what, 200? You were 200 hours into this or something?
Yeah, we kind of, I think we, that show doesn't run anymore, but we,
we do specials.
Did. We're just doing the specials. We did like, how many flipping heck? Like, I think we did 10 series of it. And before that, we did like 8 series of a show called Russell Howard's Good News. So yeah, it was kind of, it was a long old, long old time, but I loved it. It's kind of, there's a weird, I think because satire has kind of migrated over to the internet, that it just isn't, the resale isn't there. So that's kind of why they don't really get made in the UK anymore. So we had an election and we had no kind of topical comedy, which is a bit of a shame. But
I think the show is brilliant. And thanks. You can check it out on YouTube.
Yeah, there's loads of it.
Like, clips. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of it. And what's funny is the news is so cyclical. So you can, you know, it's amazing.
Yes, watching, you're right about that.
Watching clips of it and going, oh my God, how is this still relevant?
How did this come back around? Totally, how did this come back around?
It's so... it's so fascinating. But that's kind of... that's kind of where I guess I kind of cut my teeth properly.
So Russell, you in your new special, which is brilliant, by the way, thank you for providing a screener. I know it's out now as this show will be released. It's out now. Mm-hmm. It's on a platform called Drift. Is that right?
You've got that's right. You can
stream
it. Yeah, you can stream it through my website. So my website is www.russell/howard.co.uk.
And links in the show notes, everybody. So yeah, just go there and we'll link to the special and we'll link to the website. Also, this special is hilarious. It's brilliantly funny. It's kinetic. Your type of comedy is kinetic. It can be physical. You're really funny. You're really good at pointing out hypocrisy on all sides of the spectrum and then making it funny. And I really enjoyed it. One of the things that you said that really resonated with me, you were talking about how I think the way that my brain works, this is the only job that I could ever have. And that really struck a chord with me because you walk around life just like I do. And I'm sure Chrissy does too. We walk around life
observing
and seeing things in such a weird way that if we said those things out loud in the moment, we'd be arrested or certainly kicked out of the party. But then I get to get on a microphone, you get to get up on stage and do this. Was comedy always a pursuit of yours?
Yeah, I've always loved making people laugh. And my mum's very funny and my dad is very distant. So it's kind of like the perfect combo.
It sounds like my parents.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. So like our parents,
You're trying to kind of, you know, stop
make
her.
Him laugh.
You're trying to make
bring
her,
him closer. Yeah.
You make him laugh and her not cry. Uh-huh. So it was sort of that, really. I don't know. I loved school. So I was kind of, you know, I was okay academically, but I really loved, you know, mucking around and just like everyone was funny at school. It just felt like it was kind of like everyone's chipping in and I kind of loved that and kind of just grew up through that. And then I found stand-up and you're so right. It's like when you find it, I imagine it's how, you know, you guys said it's exactly the same for you and you now have... an output for it.
Yes.
It's probably like being a sculptor or a musician or a filmmaker or a screenwriter, whatever it is. But you sort of, when you find that valve that you can hiss your madness out of.
Yes.
And that's the great thing about stand-up, that when people laugh, to me, it makes me feel like they're going, you're not mad. It's fine.
Yeah.
Because
yes, that's right.
You have, but that's all I do. I kind of wander around and occasionally my brain will whisper to me and I kind of write it down in my phone and then I kind of go on stage and see whether it's interesting. But I wouldn't have it any other way. It's not a particularly, you know, useful way to live your life. But I think Bill Hicks called it the third eye.
Yes.
And it's that squeegeeing the third eye. Uh-huh. I'm pretty good at the third eye. You know what I mean? If like even in the midst of something, I can kind of sort of observe myself or kind of, I remember getting mugged when I was younger and even as it was happening, I was like, it's going to be pretty funny.
This is
do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
And it's not kind of, you know, it's not the best way to be, but it's kind of like the eyes go slightly kind of like cloudy and you're kind of, you know, that da 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 da, like kind of writing it in your head. But, you know, I bet you it's the same with loads of people where we all kind of drift off. And then I'm fortunate that I get into this, you know, place where I can just, like, even the other day, we were on holiday in Australia, which is a brilliant country. And obviously, we've got my son with me. And there was lots of pregnant women and their partners there doing the kind of baby moon thing. I don't know if you have that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know, when you go on the,
been on one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The sort of last holiday. Yeah, really good fun. And I was thinking, like, sort of in my head going, like, if, because it was, if you were at an adults only resort and you were pregnant, but you gave birth, like, would you still be allowed to stay? Like, do you know what I mean?
Depends on what kind of adults only.
Well, yeah, it wasn't a swinging thing, but I'm sort of like, but you know, when like kids aren't welcome, I was just, and in my head, I just started like laughing at the image of that. And like,
holiday's over.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Of like, it's a boy. Now get out,
Mr. Green. Yeah, we'll be giving you your bill, sir. You're no longer welcome at Chateau Adults.
Exactly. And that was. But the point is, I was just like alone in my own head, and then just wrote it down on my phone. And it's like, I'm sure I'll go to a gig at some stage and see if I can knock that into something.
Yeah.
But do you know
do
what I mean?
Do you do a lot of improvising on stage?
Yeah, I kind of like. I used to do loads when I was younger, but it's kind of, I don't like picking on people. I've never really been into that of like kind of, you know, rinsing the front row. Like roasting doesn't really, like English people, we're mean behind each other's backs. Like we would never say.
You're very polite about being assholes. But, just want you to know.
That's what I mean. Yeah. But the roast, that culture just, I mean, it's beginning to, it's sort of slightly changing, but I kind of think sometimes there's a fine line between an excellent diss and just being rude to somebody.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? And it just, it always makes me feel a bit icky if you're just, if you're kind of like the high status comic who's the expert and you're basically calling someone's mum a whore. You know what I mean? And it just feels very kind of like,
it's a whole brand of comedy. And,
yeah,
you know,
but it's
some
that
people
kind of,
do find it funny, but
totally.
It's, yeah,
absolutely. But it's,
I think there are people who do it, like you said, masterfully.
Yes.
And it feels like at the end of the day, it's done with some level of love and not at the expense of someone else's feelings. And then sometimes it's just mean for the sake of being mean.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's whole podcasts filled with people who do that.
Yeah.
Right?
But it's, but I think that thing of when something happens, like organically, I've always been pretty good at, like, I was doing a show in, where was I? I was in, Denmark in a place called Aalborg. And I said, well, you know, what's been happening in Aalborg? What's the latest? And this lady went, we shot two elephants. I said, what? Like, and I said, what, the you lot, all that? And she was like, no, the government. I said, why? A zoo. And she's like, what, why was that? And it's like, and she went, well, one of the elephants was sick. I said, okay. And so the other one, like, and she was like, well, we didn't want him to be lonely.
Oh.
So it's so bleak. So then that became this whole thing of like, you know, you should never work for social services. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Never work a suicide hotline. But the point is, it kind of, I love it when you can make something that's happened organically, then, I mean, it has to become part of the show. So the whole kind of evening was interlinked with this kind of,
that's fun,
sort of knowledge of, you know, of how they dealt with problems. But I love improvising within my own head and kind of trying to kind of create a bit of magic. But I'm not into that whole kind of, you know, slamming people. I don't have, if somebody heckles me, fine.
That's one thing.
But I don't kind of go looking for the front row. And,
right.
You know what I mean?
Because
weirdly, I went to see a comedian and my PA, Andy, booked me the tickets. And she's lovely, but she kind of got me them. It was like the third row, right in the middle. And I was like, fuck.
They're going to know me. They're going to point me out. Yeah.
And it was really, but what was interesting, it was really interesting to feel that fear.
Yes.
Like, and I didn't want that. I was like going, God, and I'm a comedian. I know, you know, and yet in my head, I'm going, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God.
Yeah.
And I just thought it must be so awful for people. Like some people must love it. And of course,
sure.
but some people must be sat there just praying
yes.
that they're not going to be eviscerated. So it well, just made
I've been
me think
to small comedy clubs, and it feels like if you're too
you're
close,
in trouble.
My, yeah,
yeah. Exactly.
And listen, I'm a big boy. I do this for a living. You know, we've been up on stage. You know, yeah. I've seen. But also, my wife, who is petrified yeah. of any public attention from strangers. She already feels the fear, and then I feel the fear for her. And yeah. we went to a comedy club one time, and this guy, his whole shtick was pointing out people's physical appearances yeah. and then knocking them without them having said a word. Now, was it funny? There were parts that were funny, but he was randomly going through the audience. And I was like, please don't pick my wife, because I'm going to have to hear about it the entire car ride.
Yeah, yeah.
Please don't pick my wife. And, you know, I think some of the... Okay, that's a valid form of comedy.
But it would kill me. But I don't, the thing that interests me is how do you sleep? Because you just at night, like my brain does that anyway. My brain does that, you know, I'll
be trying to. What did I do wrong?
Yeah, but I'll be trying to go to sleep and my brain will remind me of some thing I did when I was 16.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Do you remember that outside the pub? Yeah, what a
dick.
What
an asshole.
Yeah, yeah. It reminds you of these cringe moments.
Yeah.
You know, so I can't imagine, like, if you had a career where you were just like, remember that time? I'm pretty sure she was crying. Really? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
or you feel bad.
And it's just not, I don't know, it's easy, but it's just not as interesting as trying to kind of zone in on stuff.
Agreed.
That is, you know, interesting.
Speaking of picking on people, I have to tell you this. This is the most interesting thing I've seen in 2 weeks on any website ever.
Right.
You, on your website, you clearly are a very popular comedian who's got accolades from all over the place, and you've done it. I mean, would you consider yourself one of the UK's most popular comics?
Yeah, probably. I'm definitely in the top. Yeah.
Your own government set up a website that tracks the popularity of comics. Do you know about this?
I did not know this.
YouGov.UK. Is that your like official government's website?
Yeah, they do.
I found a website, a web page dedicated to tracking the popularity of the comics that come from the UK.
Wowzers.
It's crazy. Now, I'm sure there's only 6 people who voted on this. There's got to be, you know, I mean, it's like this random website.
And the government.
And the government is keeping track of it. Where are your tax dollars
going? People might have faults with Joe Biden, but I can't imagine he's got a questionnaire asking people what they felt of Chappelle's last special. Do you know what I mean?
You are a very popular comic, by the way. By some, you're like number 20. You can break it down by men, women, Gen X. I'll send this link to you. You can check it out if you feel so inclined. Yeah. But Johnny Vegas, you know Johnny Vegas
is?
Have you heard of this guy?
Yeah.
The guy from Benidorm, right?
Yeah.
And like the glamping show?
Yeah.
He ranks so highly up there. And I was like, I didn't even know Johnny Vegas was a stand-up comic.
Yeah, he hasn't done stand-up for many years. But again, so clearly they've asked a lot of people in the north of England. But he was a phenomenal comedian. He was really, like, in his pomp, my God. Yeah, he basically played the role of a light entertainer who his life had unraveled, and he used to do like live pottery on stage. This is like the mid 90s. He would have a story about how his dad made him eat his pet rabbit. It was all like really dark, and he was like making pottery as he did it.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so I doubt, but maybe, you know, maybe people had seen him live. I don't know, but he's a really great comic.
The only thing that I knew him from was
Benidorm,
right? Yeah, but then I somehow got on down the rabbit hole, and then I watched his show on glamping. I won't go too far off on this, but I watched a show on glamping where he's trying to start this camping park, right? RV park or whatever, by making these things. I found him to be a very lovely human being, a complete opposite of what you see on Benny.
He's a really gentle soul. He's wonderful. He's really, great. Really funny. But I'm trying to think. There's a great clip of him. He did Just for Laughs, the Montreal Comedy Festival. I think, you know, you've got to do 7 minutes. They have lawyers who check your jokes, all very kind of regimented. And I think he went on and did 15 minutes. And obviously this was before the, you know, the stories about culture? No, the stories that came out about Bill Cosby, because he kept saying, I could have been the next Bill Cosby, but you lot had to fucking play God. And it's just this utterly bewildered Canadian audience, but it's pretty legendary. It's worth a spin. Nice. If you want to see a great comedian going down in flames, then I would recommend that.
Chrissy, he might be a beloved podcasters, and he might be a beloved comic, but you have never been named the UK's weirdest crush of 2013. Did you know you were named UK's weirdest crush of 2013? Yeah. What is that all about?
Well, basically, there's a big magazine called Heat over here, which is like a sort of a showbiz mag, and I was voted the weird crush. So the person that I guess women and some men fancied but felt terrible about. So it's kind of, it says a lot about kind of like male ego that I was kind of delighted, but I just can't imagine a world in which like people going, oh, is there a girl you fancy, but you'd feel fucking awful for admitting it. Do you know what I mean? That's the thing. That would make the press. Like if people were saying that they, so yeah, I was essentially the nation's pity fuck. That's kind of what I was.
Do you get followed by the press over there?
Yeah. So it's kind of like, it's kind of weird really, because I would describe myself as a famous comedian rather than a celebrity, you know, and it's kind of, so I've never really been to kind of red carpets or anything like that. I've been to, you know, I went to my sister did a premiere for a film once, and I went to the Inbetweeners film. But aside from that, it's just not my thing. I don't really sort of, so I've never lurked in that kind of world of showbiz. Yeah. But I've been on TV for like 20 odd years and, you know, done arenas.
People know you.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of, so when I do, when I kind of do press, then sometimes it kind of like during COVID, we were supposed to be going on my brother's stag do. You call it a bachelor party.
Yeah.
But obviously we couldn't. And I was doing an interview with Lorraine, who's a really lovely kind of early morning kind of TV host. And I got out a kind of pint of cider because it was supposed to be my brother's stag do, and just kind of downed it. Just was in the middle of this, essentially news, more just like drinking like really rough cider. And that went pretty wild. Like it was kind of all over, just like Howard drinks for breakfast. And I was like, and it was just a joke to my brother and all his cousins.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have to be pretty careful. Things sometimes... Yeah, it's just that odd thing, isn't it? Of like, you know, like even in the special, that is true. That line of, you know, it was in the paper that somebody said that I was obsessed with the idea of running a gym, only for grannies. So it's just kind of, things I say on podcasts sometimes end up in the press. So it's pretty wild.
Well, we can only hope.
Yeah, man, I'm sure.
Hope. People can find the special now available on your website.
We're going to put
links in the show notes. He's doing a tour mainly of the West Coast of America, but we'll put the links there.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Yeah.
Russell, go ahead. Sure. Please.
Yeah, I have been dying to know because we have discovered the show Naked Attraction.
Yes.
And
do you watch that? Yeah.
Dying to know, have you ever known anybody that's been on there?
No.
Or known someone that knew someone? Because, I mean, the show is so wild.
Yes.
And so fascinating.
It must go against everything that you think of British people.
Yes, like, absolutely. Yeah,
exactly.
But no prudishness there.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Like America, it's so lovely to come to America because you sort of regard us as like these regal, noble beasts.
We do.
And yet, it's because we're far away from you. We're close to Europe, and they know the truth about us. And the truth is that we have a dating show for people who don't know what Naked Attraction is, where the people meet naked and you have like five women or five men behind five kind of capsules.
Yeah.
And you sort of gradually, you know, you lift
start
it up.
The pelvis.
You start from the pelvis. So you're just, you know, you'll just see the cock or vagina of the, of your potential, you know, fiance.
Yeah.
And they literally kind of talk about their bits like like
very clinically, yeah.
Clinically, but like, yeah. But like in the same way you might talk about like buying veg at a supermarket. It's right, so kind of right,
like yeah.
And I think one of the famous lines is, "Are you a muff man?" You know, and this guy going, "Well, you know, I don't mind. I don't mind. However she wants to do it is fine." Yeah. So it's kind of weirdly. It's like a cross between a porn film and like a Wallace and Gromit episode.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? There's kind of a lot going on. But yeah, it's I don't know anyone who's been on it, but it's a really good question because presumably they know people.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
So their life must forever be different.
Well,
do you know what I mean?
Of just like kind a financial of like, advisor.
Yeah, there was one guy.
A plumber.
So yeah. We have broke down a couple of these videos. So watched them here in the studio and then commented on them as we're watching them.
Yeah.
And our listeners are floored. Last time we did it, it was a woman with men and we just talked about penises for an hour. And I think that probably half our audience tuned out. But we have always wondered about this show. It's available on one of our streaming
Max.
Platforms here, HBO Max. Now, I'm not sure how many people watch it, but we've always wondered who's going to the grocery store the next day. And you just everybody, the entire world just saw your cock, and now you're cold, naked,
everything.
Yeah, exactly. And it's
it's so weird.
It boggles the mind. It really does.
Yeah,
and it's. That is the show, isn't it? You almost want to follow them around afterwards.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And just kind of...
You're so right about this. We need a where are they now after the dates. And I mean, I know they show the first date that they go on, but Naked Attraction, one of my favorite oddities currently anywhere in the world.
Absolutely.
Russell's special is brilliant. It is available on his website. Again, links in the show notes and his tour. And there is so much of Russell out there on YouTube. We'll also link to his YouTube channel and, of course, his social media. Russell, you are welcome back here anytime.
Please,
we are
back.
Fans of yours. Well,
I would love to. Whereabouts are you guys based?
We're in Atlanta.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you what, if I get the chance, when we're over there, I'd love to pop in, say hello.
If you have the chance, then you've got our information. Yeah. We would love that. And if you should come close to Atlanta and do your act, we will be sitting not in the first row, but somewhere third.
Excellent. Brilliant. Well, lovely to meet you both.
Russell, you're the best, man.
You.
Get back to that kid of yours. Thanks for coming on late. We appreciate it.
One of my New Year's resolutions is to hear more of other people's drama. So help a girl out and tell us your drama at 212-433-3822. You can text it, or if it's extra juicy, leave us a voicemail with the full story. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. And watch our video episodes at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. But also, you can find everything I just mentioned and more on our website, tcbpodcast.com. Okay, let's listen to our sponsors and send us your drama.
So fun to talk to Mr. Russell Howard. And I like how he described, he says, you Americans think that all British people are reserved and, you know, quietly funny. And then he comes on and he's reserved and quietly funny.
And very
he's
nice.
Reserved. He's so nice.
He was great.
Mo Gilligan, who was our other British comic friend that we made here on The Commercial Break, and Russell Howard. Both of them are proving that British people are, in fact, a little bit reserved and very funny and very nice. So there
and
you go.
And very naked.
What's that?
And very naked.
Well, there
on
you go.
Naked. They're very...
I wonder, like, I think what he was trying to say is that it is as much of a sensation over there as it is over here. It's like, wow, that's crazy. But I am still looking for that person that knows that person that was on the show. And what was their life like afterwards? Yes. How do you ever date someone again and not know that they know what your penis looks like?
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Or use them as a plumber or your financial advisor.
When I went to the bar, at least I knew that I had my sense of humor and that they weren't going to see my penis likely for a long time. If I go on that show, then I know it's all over. All right. Thanks to Mr. Russell Howard for coming in today. We certainly appreciate it. All of his stuff will be in the show notes. Links to his YouTube, links to tickets to his show, links to his special, links to his website, links to his social media. We'll put it all in the show notes. Please do us a favor and go check out that special. He didn't come here for his health, Chrissy. He needs people to watch that special.
Yes, he does. I think he will. going to have a lot of people watching it.
Oh, I think so too. Yes. But we want to make it a thing here in the United States because we know that people over there are going to watch it because they love Russell Howard. People here, do they know Russell Howard? Do they know Robbie Williams?
No.
Is Russell Howard in fact a dolphin or an octopus in a sexy wig? We're not sure. More info to follow. Stay tuned to the commercial break. All right, here's our info. Go to tcbpodcast.com. Everything you need is right there. We got all the audio, all the video, right there from one location. If you're a browser kind of person, you can watch it on your browser. You can listen to it in your browser. If you're old school like that, feel free. And I have a feeling some of you are that old that you're browsing. Get your free sticker also. Hit the contact us button. Drop down menu, I want my free shit. Give us your address and we'll send you something. Promise. No muss, no fuss. We won't ask for anything in return. Except for a like or a follow. You could do that. Also, Astrid is imploring me to implore you to go and check us out on youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. Check out the new studio. Check out the new digs. Watch all of our episodes, every single one of them, now available on youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. That includes all of our interviews. So if you want to see just how handsome Russell is compared to me, go check that out. You can imagine both of us on Dating Naked. A Naked Attraction. What is it called?
Naked Attraction.
Naked Attraction. Dating Naked's a different show where they don't actually show anything. They just tell you they're going to show something, but they don't really. I just noticed the camera keeps swaying over to one side. Are you noticing that? Our camera doing its own camera tricks. That's kind of cool.
It likes to do that.
There you go. All right. Add the commercial break on Instagram, TCB Podcast on TikTok, if TikTok's still around.
Yeah.
I think it will be. I think he just... Trump just invited the CEO to the inauguration, I think we're all good. Yeah. 212-433-3TCB, 212-433-3822. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas, all there. Please, talk to us. We want to hear from you. All right, Chrissy, I think that's all I can do for right now.
I think so.
I'll tell you that I love you.
And I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
Best you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time we talk, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye. Bye. Kiss me.